Today, I'd like to begin an exploration of the concept of blessing. The old song goes, "Counter many blessings, see what God hath done." That's a great place to start. But Lord willing, and if we have opportunity, I'd really like to look into this and see why God's blessing is really a cornerstone of his love and his plans for us. And Lord willing, that we can continue to get together. This will be a series over the next few months. Sam will recognize it in some parts. And another reason that I bring you commends is raising up a young man who in classes, and I know in the pulpit, is doing a great work. I sit with him in class virtually, and he always has amazing things to say. Again, as a congregation, you are helping to further God's work through that. So he'll recognize this because I worked on a paper, and this grew out of my paper. What does the world say about blessing? I still hear people who would discount the very idea of God use that concept to express gratitude. I hear words like blessing and thanksgiving used by the world. I hear phrases like, "The universe has given us this beauty in nature," or, "We are thankful for the blessings of the earth this Thanksgiving." The world anthropomorphizes, I got through it mostly, things around us, but they miss the fingerprints of God in them. And yet, to me, the very recognition of gratitude speaks to our human condition. It reminds us that we all recognize the beneficence of something greater than ourselves. But what the world misses is the person of God, and that's fundamental to us. I want you today to know that it is God's deep desire to see his children prosper. The Bible begins, "In the beginning God created," and we immediately learn the creativity of our God is a key part of his personality. By verse 22 of Genesis chapter 1, we learn two more things about his character. Beginning in verse 21, "God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves and which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth.'" So we learn that God takes delight in his creation. He says it was good. And we learn that he desires to bless his living creatures. We read that he blessed the animal kingdom. In verse 28, he repeats the same thing for humanity. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply.'" The lesson about God blessing humanity is for another day. But here I just want us to see that blessings originate with God. They involve increase and growth. They involve being and fitting in exactly as God had envisioned. That's why it was very good. And they go back to the very beginning of creation. Keep it in mind. We're going to come back to that in another day. This morning, I want to look at our blessing towards God. You might ask, why would God need us to bless him? He has all he needs. Surely there's nothing he needs from us. Indeed, there is nothing he needs, but there is something he wants. When I was a child, I was the eldest of seven kids. I guess I still am, in a way. This is Easter, but I'm talking about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving always meant aunts and the cousin came for a celebration. It was the 60s, and the boys were all dressed with suit jackets and skinny ties. I wore a jacket and I wore a tie today. This fat ones were on the way in the next decade. The girls were all dressed in matching A-line dresses, lovingly handmade by my aunt. Brown plaid with orange V-neck insert and trim. Did I mention this was the 60s? It was chaos. But we were there to celebrate Thanksgiving. And that meant a turkey like no other. My dad was not going to settle for some frozen trucked-in bird. He ordered the farm fresh one. I think I've passed cars on the road these days that were about the same size. I think my mom crammed it into the oven with a crowbar 2 days early to make sure it was going to be done. But done it was, and we feasted and we remembered the sermon of the morning about God's gifts. And even with all those mouths to feed, the meal came to an end and there were great loads of leftovers. It might have amounted to 12 basketfuls, I suppose, if we had counted. And there's no room in the fridge for all that food. So went out to the only cold room we had, the garage. What no one realized was that the back door was left ajar. I think you know where this is going. The next day was Monday. In those days, you got Monday off. And when my mother went out to get the turkey for lunch, there was a scream followed by the banging on a garbage can lid and a "Sksht!" My dejected mother came in the door with the news that a cat had been feasting on our bird carcass. Well, when my dad heard, there was no way he was letting that turkey go to waste. He'd shelled out good money for that bird, and he was eating it no matter what. Of course, my mother refused to serve her children or her guests tainted meat, but my father trimmed off the bite marks, and he ate turkey while we ate mac and cheese. It must have been okay because he lived another half century. Why did I tell this story? Because that was just the start of the thankfulness I've learned in the years that followed. Because as a child looked around the table, I realized I was blessed with a home and a meal, but more importantly, God had given me a loving family that surrounded me and supported me. This time was the beginning of a child's understanding of the loving kindness of God. Grown, now I can appreciate and reciprocate so much more about the goodness of God. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 100 and we'll take a look at that reading. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. David is calling out for us to give praise to God. Shout it out, it says. Some other translations, make a joyful noise to all the earth, he says. Everyone, everywhere should hear this. Worship him, be joyous, and be glad when you do. Understand that he alone is God. This psalm is part of a collection of songs that celebrate God's kingship. He rules the greatest throne of all, the eternal one in heaven. He made us. We belong to him. We are like the sheep, David says, that he cares for. Enter his gates with all that God is, he welcomes us through the gate and into the inner courtyard of his palace. The highest king welcomes you into his home. Think about it if you ever got an invitation to Buckingham Palace. How would you feel? How would you react? And yet, you're welcomed into an even greater throne room. This is reason to rejoice. When you come in, David says, sing from your hearts. Give thanks. And this is a starting point for worship. Then in verse 4, the NIV uses the term praise the Lord. Other translations are a little bit closer to the original Hebrew, and they use the word bless. Praise and blessing are the same thing. They grow out of a thankful heart, and they're directed at only one place, at the King, our Creator, and our Protector. David closes this prayer by reminding us that God is God forever. His love is loyal and enduring through all time and even beyond. No matter where we go or what we do, he will be faithful in his desire to bless us. That's reason to bless him back. There's been a lot of theologically weighted stuff that David has got us into. What matters to us? What matters to us should be what matters to God. Earlier, I mentioned that being blessed is being in a life exactly as God had planned for you. If we're not living that life, if we're not living that way, we're shortchanging ourselves on God's gifts. Nehemiah was sent back by a benevolent king to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He rallied the people together, and by each building a section of wall near their house, it was completed in a remarkable 52 days, despite the threat of armed opposition. But the wall was not the only thing that was neglected in Jerusalem. God's word, when they read it aloud again, brought tears to the people's eyes when they heard and learned what they had been missing. After the celebrations, they came together to fast and confess. This is what the Levites commanded them in the name of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 5. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You gave life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. This is the heart of our blessing of the Lord. The Hebrew word for blessing is barach. It helps to get a little bit of phlegm up in your throat to make that sound, or to be Scottish. It originally meant to kneel. When Abraham's servant was sent to find a wife for Isaac, he had his camels barach near the well when it was time for the women to come to draw water. Of course, we know that it was Rebekah who offered water not only to the servant, but also to the camels, a sign that she was the chosen one. The word has been co-opted to become praise or bless because kneeling demonstrated honor for someone greater. Thus, kneeling was a pose of praise to God. Why does God want our blessing, our praise, and our worship? I think the throne scene in Revelation chapter 4 gives us an answer. Simply that it is the heartfelt response to him. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. God doesn't need our praise and thanksgiving, but he does want them. He created us. We have our being in him. He breathed his spirit into us. It's that part of him who calls out to honor and bless him with our fellowship and blessings. We've wandered away, but David often reminds us that God has always protected us and held us close. We saw that in the earlier psalm. David goes on in other psalms. He listens to his heartfelt need, and he proclaims, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's an ESV translation. If you have an NIV, you'll see the word extol rather than bless. Psalm 34, verse 1. Or again, David says, all your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. That's the NIV, 145, verse 10, which the ESV renders, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. Praise and blessing are the same thing. So how does this affect us? How does the rubber meet the road in all of this? I'm going to try and summarize it this way. God desires worship and blessings from us, but you need it. You need it to be a whole person. D.A. Carson puts it this way. We have been made by this God and for this God because our very self-identity, when we are right with God, is to love him supremely, to adore him and to worship him. It is a supreme act of love on his part to keep demanding it because it is for our good. We are only complete when we have a renewed relationship with God. He provided his son to rebuild that relationship, and now he wants us to cling to him and share together. A man by the name of Ron Stolfus says this, you will never learn to give thanks for what you have until you learn to give thanks for what you don't have. I deliberated on this as I wrote this sermon. My first reaction was, oh yeah, I can be thankful that I have not contracted COVID, that I have a warm shelter over my head, that I have three squares a day, as they used to say. But then I thought, that's a really shallow interpretation of this statement. Have I learned to be thankful when God says no to the things I pray for? Or when I must wait for an answer I'm longing for? That starts to make me appreciate his compassionate love for me, especially when I'm asking for the wrong things. Then I thought, even deeper, am I not thankful for something much greater that I don't have? Absolutely I am. I'm thankful that I don't have to pay for my sins. Jesus already has. His life in substitution for mine. He gave his life away because my sin had already forfeited my life. Praise be to God. Amen. Today we celebrate Easter, when God accepted the best gift and blessing ever, a son who was willing to step in for us, and a father who accepted that gift and raised him to newness of life and promised he'd do the same for us. We started with a Thanksgiving story. We've come full circle to the Easter story. Can I help but bless him for this plan of salvation? I'm like David. I need to bless God at all times because when I remember my place and my just compensation for my sin, I'm empty. Bless him who fills me up from his storehouse of love and compassion. God's mercy has become my triumph. Wow, God, you've done this wonderful thing, and my soul is filled. When your heart is in tune with God, blessing is the natural outcome. Bless the Lord because it's His desire. He wants to reciprocate your love. Bless the Lord because it's good for you. Christ in you makes the whole person God always intended. He created us to bless Him. Rejoice and experience His love. Bless the Lord most of all because it's what you were made for. God created an immense universe of incomparable beauty and majesty, but it only became very good when He created you and me. He created us to have a personal, loving relationship, one in which each side recognizes the beauty of the other. He has sent His blessing in His Son. Our inmost being reaches back to Him and prays and thanksgiving and the barak of our King.